Today, on the 8th of September, we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the birth of the Mother of Jesus. This appropriately comes 9 months after we celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. So on December 8th, we celebrate Mary's conception, conception without sin. That's what the Immaculate Conception refers to. And then 9 months later, today, her birth. We just heard the genealogy of Jesus as it appears at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's genealogy begins as follows. We just heard it. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Although David is mentioned before Abraham here, David came long after Abraham. But it was important for Matthew to establish that Jesus was descended from David because the prophets had foretold that the Messiah would be born from David's line. So then after establishing that, Matthew traced the lineage all the way back to Abraham, Abraham who was, of course, the first Jew. But not all those in the genealogy were Jews. Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth were Gentiles. In fact, Rahab was a prostitute. Matthew did not mention Bathsheba by name, but referred to her as the wife of Uriah. Uriah was a Hittite, so Bathsheba would have become a Gentile when she married him. Now, she, of course, married David after Uriah died. And recall that it was David who arranged for the death of Uriah after David had gotten Bathsheba, his wife, pregnant. The genealogy contains an interesting mix of saints and sinners. Remember that Jacob tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright. And then Judah, we heard that Judah early on, one of Jacob's sons, was in the lineage. And he and his brothers were the ones who sold Joseph into slavery. The middle part of the genealogy lists some of Israel's kings. And if we read about those kings in the first and second book of Kings, we find that most of them were pretty terrible individuals, often leading people away from the worship of God. And then the last part of the genealogy contains a lot of people whose names are not even mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. Apparently, they did not do anything to warrant mention. The last entry in the genealogy before Jesus is Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph, of course, was not the biological father of Jesus, but he was the legal father, and so he's included in the family tree of Jesus. But of course, Mary, and as we heard, of whom Jesus was born, is also mentioned. I want to make just a couple of points. Matthew's gospel was written for a Jewish audience. So establishing Jesus' Jewishness was important for him. Recall that many of the early Christians were converts from Judaism, and in fact, some considered Christianity a sect of Judaism. Of course, that was not the case. But Matthew effectively made the case that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus is one person with two natures, human and divine. And this was confusing to the early Christians. His divinity was established by his many miracles, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven. Matthew's genealogy reinforced Jesus' human nature. So we have both divine and human. I'm sure you've heard it said that God can write straight with crooked lines. When we look at Jesus' ancestors, this becomes quite clear. Some were saints, some were sinners, and most were a mix of the two. Some were well known, while others we know almost nothing about, only that their names appeared in the genealogy. God is humble enough to work with whom he can. And that brings us to you and me. Each of us here is both a saint and a sinner. And like all those people whose names were listed in the genealogy of Jesus, God has a purpose for each of us. Few, if any of us, will become famous in a worldly sense or perhaps even in a spiritual sense. But we, you and I, are the crooked lines that God has chosen to write with. So please don't consider yourself unworthy. Please don't consider yourself incapable. Know that God has a plan for this world and that you're an important part of that plan. Please stand. We bring to our loving Father the needs of the church and the world. We rely on Mary's intercession to support these, our prayers. Mary welcomed God's word. We pray that it may take deeper root in the hearts of Christians